The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my right, from the Department of English, it's Professor Heather Hill.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm tired, but I'm more concerned that I might smell like vinegar.
Why is that? What?
Because I was trying to clean the head of one of our shower things, and it's all clogged up.
Yep, and you do the thing where you put it in the little bag. And...
Well, actually, I'm a little worried about taking it off, so I actually put it in a plastic. I put vinegar in the bag, and I tied it up, but
that's
of course...
Cool. Yeah.
It leaks.
It leaked, so...
Vinegar
that happens to all of us.
is a really weak acid, and it can handle almost any.
It's that McClure's all the about you. That's all.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So if I get a chemical burn, like in Fight Club,
right,
I don't want to put water on it.
Well, I mean, you should in that case because that was a really strong base. If you put a weak acid on it, like vinegar, you're going to burn yourself twice. Unfortunately, yeah, that would not be good.
So anyway, I apologize if I smell like white vinegar.
I thought that you were going to say, seriously, because we had the discussion about the what's the dill across the street from campus.
Oh.
You're like, I went to the pickle shop.
Oh.
That's why I smell like vinegar.
I haven't been there, but
it will happen sooner or later.
One of Mia's favorite toys is a little pickle that's stuffed with catnip, and it says on it, I'm kind of a big dill. And she rolls on her back, and she gets that thing in her front paws,
okay.
And then the big jackrabbit.
The sensors are coming in. The sensors are coming in.
Oh, my gosh.
You have to video that.
Continuing around the table.
And put it on our Facebook page.
Professor Stephen Manning is here from the Department of... you've got the jazz from last weekend.
Yep.
Yeah, that's cool. It's like the oldish kind of logo, too.
Yeah, they sell these... Washed t-shirts, I think they are. Yeah, we were down on
Sunday.
Washed.
Yeah. If you're from Maryland or Delaware, that's
East
probably
Tennessee.
How you say it. Yeah.
Washed.
I mean, I was up near Port Huron last weekend, but it must have been the same around here. Absolutely spectacular weather for everything that was going on.
Yes.
Very, so. Very nice.
I wondered what they do when it rains, because none of the stages, the main stage, there are three stages, none of them are covered.
Really?
They play on?
And we've been to places where the stage area is like an amphitheater, it's covered, but the audience is not. Of course, the band doesn't care. Well, we're dry, you're getting drenched. But here, I don't know what they do, but this weekend was not a problem because it was absolutely perfect weather.
Absolutely. Finally, we have a break in the humidity. Finally, it's 47 degrees when everybody gets up in the morning. It's just the way it is for a while. Sorry about the plants, Heather.
Actually, some of them appreciate the cooler weather.
That's
cool. Yeah.
Professor Jim Tubbs is here from the Department of Religious Studies. And, I mean, is it a new polo for the Lions are wearing?
It's a new polo
it's
for the
cool.
Lions.
It's cool, because it's got
really
the new logo.
Yes.
It's very nice.
I'm being loyal to my city and my team today.
It's a really nice-looking shirt.
Thank you.
For our listeners.
You keep that up. You can join the coaching staff on the sidelines.
It's Costco, I think it might be time for another Costco run.
Jim, you look good in Honolulu blue.
Thank you.
I don't know how else
I think most people look good in Honolulu blue.
Yeah, it's a good color. It's a good color. And, you know, if the Lions have a good season that lasts longer than 5 seconds, like the game last night, without a career-ending injury, and then one player spitting on another and getting kicked out of the game, we're
and
doing
lightning.
Pretty good.
I'm hoping for better. I am hoping for better.
We'll see how long he wears the shirt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What, Jim's going to go topless?
No.
Oh.
No. But we can see that he's wearing a shirt, and we appreciate that shirt.
Go Lions.
Go Lions this weekend.
And go Tigers.
And go Tigers,
absolutely.
Yes. For
and
sure.
Bears.
Yep.
Oh, my.
No. Oh, my, indeed. No. Professor Dan Maggio is here, and he's wearing Professor of the First Organization.
Yes.
Not Honolulu Blue, but you look good in forest green.
I look better in green, I think.
Oh, okay. That's good.
But that's my favorite color.
How would I look in front of a green screen?
You'd be a floating head.
Bodyless?
You'd be a floating head, yeah.
Yes.
How are things with First these days?
Very busy.
Good.
So there's no lack of work to be done. I'm battling a little bit of a allergy head cold, but that's okay.
You keep getting more and more work, it seems like, which I think is a good thing for the organization, right? Because it indicates...
I didn't notice that. How is it that you noticed that and I didn't? Just kidding. It's just that...
Because I care.
There's work to be done, so it keeps my day interesting. Okay. But things are good.
Okay.
Looking forward to the fall and getting rid of this cold.
That sounds about right.
Yes.
I can feel that loud and clear. Professor Dave Chow is here, mayor of the neighborhood.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Mm-hmm. And so what's going on? Oh, wait, are you in full harvest mode over there or what?
Yes.
Of course.
We've got more kohlrabi than we know what to do with. The potatoes are coming in this week.
That's a big
We've also got dragon tongue beans and what else do we have? We've got plenty of garlic.
Do you have any squash?
We have one eggplant.
Oh, okay. That qualifies.
You can't have too much garlic.
One miserable little eggplant.
No courgettes?
One eggplant.
Yay big.
Aw. Well, Leslie planted a bunch of tomatoes, and it made one cherry tomato all summer. So.
You know, my tomatoes haven't been going very well
either.
They must not like
We've got a half a dozen beefsteak and a bunch of those little atomic bomb ones.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
North Carolina is great for beefsteak tomatoes. We used to grow those when I was a kid.
There you go. They used to make great throwing
when
as
you
a
can,
kid. So.
When you can grow a beautiful red tomato and one slice of it covers your bread.
Your sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
Totally.
It's just
thing.
Great. Totally it is a beautiful agree. Thing.
Professor Beth Oljar is here from the Department of Philosophy. You're not quite wearing Honolulu blue, but it's blue and you look good in it. So there you go.
Well, thank you very much. It's my cook for your die.
Yeah, exactly. So how are things? I want to say you have one intro and one logic, this or whatever we call it now.
I wish. Two intros and one ethics.
Ethics. Oh, okay. All right. So maybe next semester you'll have the critical thinking class. Maybe.
Should be symbolic logic, so right. Yes, I'll get the reduction in papers that with teaching that course.
Yes, excellent. And things are going well so far?
So far, except I think students are having to get used to the no electronic devices. I mean, I see them look at their phones, they've got them in their lap, and I call them on it, and they'll have their Surface Pros up, and mm-hmm. guys...
Yeah.
Ixnay.
No electronic device. I mean, they've been, you know, not really sort of putting up a visible fight.
Okay, okay. They know what's good for them.
Well, hopefully.
Right.
Sure. Well, folks, this is a program you can send us questions regarding anything. It's been a while since we got a set of questions about classroom behavior. If you stump the panel, you win a prize. If you don't stump the panel, you win a prize, too. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. Find us on Facebook and Instagram, or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. You know, every once in a while, we get something real interesting, and this is a single question sent just a few days ago from Professor Mary Catherine Harrison, Chair of the English Department. What song, by tradition, because I'm not exactly sure we can put like a fine point on this, was the first ever converted to be an MP3?
Oh,
it's a song from the 1980s.
Of course.
Okay. I'm thinking Dire Straits.
Bruce Springsteen.
No, these
if
are
it's
good,
video
all good
killed
guesses.
The radio star, I'm going to barf.
I'll tell you one thing. It had a very distinctive video, and that was the clue I was going to give you. In the video, if I remember correctly, there were rough, it almost was, if you don't mind, a proto-South Park. They were roughly cut out construction paper pieces moving through the frame. It was a very, very well-known.
Kate Bush?
We built this city on rock and roll.
Like Kate Bush?
No.
Was it Herbie Hancock?
Peter Gabriel Sledgehammer-ish?
The performer, initials SV, almost gives it away.
Stevie Ray Vaughan. SV.
It was a female performer.
Sarah Vaughan?
Suzanne Vega.
It was Suzanne Vega's.
Luca?
Nope.
Tom's Diner.
Tom's Diner is what it's a. I mean, I don't even know if that has any bearing on being an MP3, but that is what people say was the very first MP3 song. So.
It should have been the Beatles.
It should have been.
In
well,
fact,
it should
I've
have
had students give me gifts already.
What?
Two.
Hey, bribes?
Wait,
you know,
week two?
Well, one of them was a student who had accidentally gotten unenrolled from my class by someone in admissions, and I helped her sort it out. And she had been so freaked out, she got me a gift card to Starbucks.
Aw.
Bribe.
And then another student saw a little... candle with some of the lyrics from Across the Universe on it. She's like, I know you're a Beatles fan. You were mentioning it the other
That's
day. I thought,
nice.
Yeah, I'm like,
That's nice.
Bribes. Probably so.
They probably were.
What was it? Fifth week is wine, if I remember right.
Second week is coffee gift
cards. I thought it was sweet.
Yeah.
We have an IRB-based study we're doing in my department where we need the students to fill out these surveys. And we had a budget to give them gift cards, which is legal under the IRB, to be able to motivate them to do the surveys. So we got the gift cards. They're all $5 Starbucks gift cards. The first student we gave it to, this isn't
coffee.
Enough. No, this isn't enough to get one coffee.
That's actually probably
that's true.
Right.
Like we should have done a $10 gift card.
The Chaz Bash last night.
I heard it was great.
And some of the raffle tickets were tickets to the theater, you know, to a show in our lovely new Black Box Theater, right? And one of the students that won one of the raffle tickets actually is an actor in the program. Oh, right. So she's like, okay.
Can I exchange it?
I thought I could get in anyway.
Exactly.
You know what? Reach for the stars.
That's right.
What I say.
Well, I'm sure the Tigers tickets are all...
Oh, that's hardcore.
That
right
was
there.
Awesome when Chas has got 200 tickets and is giving them to faculty
that's
and staff
sweet.
And students.
That's
yeah.
sweet.
Yeah, we did that. We did something like that last year.
Yeah.
We did it again this year.
It was great.
Yeah.
Yep. Dear panelists, my apologies for not coming up with new questions for your show. It's been a while. Life gets in the way, but it's not to say I still don't listen to your fine show week after week.
Fine.
I did see the call on Facebook for questions for the new season, figure this would be the perfect occasion to do so. Below are 20 questions with no theme, rhyme, or reason. They're factoids I stumble upon daily and thought they'd prove to be good questions for the panel. Please enjoy our very good friend, Amber Hubley, who always sends us good questions.
She does.
We're happy to have it.
Thank you, Amber.
What was notable about the ship, the HMY Britannia?
Her Majesty's Yacht Britannia. Yeah. It was built in 1954.
Yeah. I knew you were going to have immediate things.
And now it's tied up at Leith in Edinburgh. It's
that was
a tourist
very
attraction
serious
now.
Episode of The Crown.
Yeah, there
yes.
is.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
About that.
Well, that was one time you got to see the Queen actually weep in public,
right.
was
yeah.
when
what
she had to say goodbye to the yacht.
What was the question again?
What was unique
what was
about it?
What was notable about the show? I would say unique is
notable.
Fair. It had a function that it was the last to do.
Was it to safeguard the Queen, like Air Force One, kind of something like that?
I basically am going to give it to you.
Yeah, it served as a royal residence for receiving state visitors.
Oh, okay.
What it says here
had a
is
huge
that
dining room.
This is where the Queen would go in the event of a nuclear attack on Great Britain.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And it hid itself in the locks before people knew it even existed.
So it
and so seat. When it became a tourist attraction, it was decommissioned.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
So hung around Nessie.
Yep,
like
exactly. The year that it was decommissioned, PBS showed this documentary about it, and they followed it on a trip. It was like a month-long cruise that went to several African countries, mm-hmm. ended up in South Ooh. Africa. And what was hilarious to me about it was that they were going to some state function, and all of these ladies in waiting and the Queen, you know, were going, well, they were all wearing tiaras and then plastic rain bonnets over the tiaras.
It How was attractive.
Quite a strange assemblage of people leaving the yacht.
That would have looked
That's
weird.
That's an odd place that they use it for that because it's so exposed. I mean, why not like an underground bunker?
Or like Air Force One?
Yeah, you know Parliament has got tunnels right? to yeah. somewhere,
There's
right?
the boat.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. They need to keep her on the move. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, they've got the Churchill War Rooms, you know, under
right?
under the.
Yep.
But mm-hmm. the thing is, they're not deep enough.
Yep. But are the locks that mysterious and that difficult to navigate? To hide?
I don't know.
Well, and Churchill spent a ton of his time during the Blitz up on the roof.
That's true.
He was
number 10,
was
looking
he
at what was going
war.
On.
Right.
He was tanning.
Just a hop, skip, and a jump to what happened to the British ship, the HMHS Maid of Kent, 21 of May, 1940. That's a pretty strong indicator of what
sunk?
Happened.
Sunk?
HMAS.
It was bombed and sunk, but it had a very specific... What am I thinking? Function is the word.
The
I think
HMS.
Maid of Kent.
Was it a supply ship?
It wasn't a supply ship.
Did it have anything to do with royalty?
No, it did not.
Did you say HMS or HMAS?
HMHS, actually.
It was a hospital ship.
It was a right. hospital ship. Yeah.
HMAS is Australian.
Yes.
Her Majesty's Australian mm-hmm.
That's
ship.
That's right.
Yeah.
It was a British hospital ship that was sunk by German warplanes just off of France in 1940. So that's not nice. Can't think of any other way to put it.
Well, the Titanic sister, the Britannic, mm-hmm. Hit a mine in the Aegean and sank in the First World War.
That's right. Can you name two of the three roles that Mel Brooks had in Blazing Saddles?
He was the director at the very end during the dance sequence.
Oh, it's interesting. That is not one of the things on the list.
He wasn't the mayor. That was Harvey Korn.
Oh, no.
He was one of the residents of this town in the church.
Another Howard Johnson?
He was.
Was he a Johnson?
I could give you that one. He had sort of one main role and then two more bit parts.
Was he the governor?
He was the governor.
Yeah.
He was the governor.
That was it.
But he also was a chief, it says, and an aviator.
Oh, he's the Indian
as well.
Chief.
Yes.
Yes.
Mungo is pawn in Game of Life.
Mungo is mere pawn.
Oh, man. Wow. How do we work backwards to this one? Oh. Who was the last U.S. president who was a Civil War veteran? That's a good piece of trivia. Ooh.
Garfield?
No, it's not what it says.
Rutherford B. Hayes.
I could easily give it away by saying somebody else took him out.
McKinley
was the last Civil War vet. Why do the names John Allen and Elisha Rumsey have a ring to them, especially when one is from southeastern Michigan?
Have a ring to them?
Yeah. They did something really important in 1824, John Allen and Elisha Rumsey. What do you think they did?
Did you do something to the Liberty Bell?
They did not.
Did they get married in secret? Or
they did not get married in secret.
Passports?
Licenses? They founded something. They founded something.
They founded something?
In 1824.
Well, not the city of Detroit. That was much older.
Mm-mm. But a different city they founded.
Ann Arbor?
A pretty popular city. Ann Arbor is actually what they founded. Yep. Allen and Rumsey's Ann Arbor, the experiment. what year saw the launch of Facebook? Is anybody
1999.
It was actually after 2000, Dan.
2001.
No.
2002.
2005.
2008.
You still haven't said.
Nine.
It was 2004.
Where's Kendra?
The only one you skipped
Where
over.
Is Kendra? Doggone it.
We need to get in the habit of just, doing this sequentially, right?
With exactly.
Yeah, it's more fun.
I know you.
Oh, my gosh. What is the first commercially grown genetically engineered food that was approved by the FDA?
Corn.
No, it
soy.
Wasn't. It wasn't soy either.
Wheat?
No. Nope.
Banana? Soybeans.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Lentils.
I'll give it away. We were just talking about them.
Tomato.
It was a tomato. It was called the Flavor Saver.
The Flavor Saver.
I mean, of course, it's spelled weird because it's a product and everything. But,
there was an episode of the series Monk, which I absolutely adore, where because he has such bad OCD, someone had actually bred a square tomato.
Oh. Yeah.
So when you cut it in slices, it would exactly fit on the bread.
Right.
And he was just thrilled.
I know that
idea.
You all will trust me when I say that I would probably be not an expert in this, but that I would know it. But there is a company that makes very, very thick, basically plexiglass plastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they make these shells
with the watermelon
in special shapes that you're supposed to put around your pumpkins when you're growing them.
Oh,
and they will look like the profile of Frankenstein's monster or look like something else.
Yeah.
When they grow, they fill the space. And wow, that is a lot of effort is all I have to say.
I was waiting for you to go down the tobacco route. That's all.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Simpsons.
That'd be a lot of effort even for you,
yep.
I think.
Yeah.
What all-female singing group had the most entries for the UK singles charts while they were still together?
The Spice Girls.
Bangles.
No, neither.
The UK?
Classic 80s.
Bananarama.
Bananarama.
Oh, God.
Yeah. In the Sherlock Holmes stories, do you remember what Professor Moriarty's first name is?
Bob.
It's a good guess.
Prasad?
Incorrect. It's not Prasad or Bob.
Was it John?
It's not John.
Charles.
It's in the very general, Heather's got the right vibe. It's very,
James?
It's James Moriarty. Okay.
James.
Yes.
Oh.
That's, yeah.
Professor James Moriarty. Oh, and by the way, I love how Amber's jumping around. What was Professor Moriarty a professor of?
Crime?
Mathematics.
Crime. He was a professor of math. Absolutely.
Oh. Dance.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Dance.
Professor of crime. It's like, you know, I went to evil medical school for 4 years.
And it cost me $1 million.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
$1 billion.
Oh, man. Help. I've seen this spun in different ways. I can't confirm whether it's true, but if it is, it's fun. The most popular, as by usage, so writing and speaking, fictional language is what?
Klingon.
Klingon, 100%.
Dan.
Star Trek. Klingon. It's not, a lot of people say it's the Elvish language, you know, Tolkien.
Can we give
our
all the answers for the rest of the show in Klingon?
I'll see
I
what
was I, just
going
to ask.
Please
if
don't.
You spoke
I could say whatever I wanted. It would sound Klingonish to you. So
it would
I
sound
probably,
Klingonish.
We need Aaron here to decipher
this
half of this.
This is actually raising an important philosophical question about whether there could be a private language.
Huh?
Why not?
How would you know?
Well,
that's actually kind of the
tool
point.
Of communication. Then that, that
if language is essentially public, then the idea of a language that no one
transit.
But you,
yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Wittgenstein made that point.
What about two? A lot of identical twins have their own language.
Oh, they do. They do.
But there's two of them.
Yeah.
Yep.
So they,
really.
Yeah. If, funny thing about
just asking whether it could be a solitary. Language.
I yeah. understand. No, I'm just teasing.
Bring back Esperanto.
Because you didn't know that about.
I think it could be a solitary code for yourself, but it couldn't be a language until you shared it with somebody else.
Yeah, that seems right.
Isabella Eugenie Boyer was once a very famous French model. What did she model for?
Hats.
She did not.
Gloves.
Are we looking for a designer like
we're
Chanel,
talking like Armani,
Dior?
Or
you know, she modeled for something pretty important.
The Statue of Liberty.
She was the model for the Statue of Liberty.
Oh, cool.
Oh.
She was the widow to the inventor of the Singer sewing machine and also modeled for the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah.
Who is Swanky covering she. Her face in mm-hmm. shame. At
so
the
she
moment.
Wasn't a hand model.
No. She had a pretty stern
George
face.
George Costanza. Yep.
She's a foot model, too. So.
Ben and Jerry of ice cream fame did not want to originally open an ice cream business. They wanted a completely different food-based venture, but couldn't afford the main machine they needed. What kind of a shop did they want to open up there in Vermont?
A taffy shop.
I mean, you're in the realm where you need some specialized, but I'm thinking Woodward, halfway basically between 9 and 10 mile on the northbound
ice cream?
Side.
No,
donuts.
Sorry.
Donuts?
Not donuts, but
bagels.
Bagels. They
oh,
wanted
bagel.
To own a bagel shop.
Oh.
They couldn't afford the bagelator.
Well, that explains
the bagelator.
That explains that bagel flavor of ice cream they had out for a
did
while.
Did they actually really?
They did.
Wow, I thought.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
no.
Wild.
Jeez.
I would have believed it.
And by the way, we've got some yeah. swampland in Nevada.
Mm-hmm. You really looked like you believed that for a minute.
Well, only because. My favorite Ben & Jerry's flavor of all time is the one they called Chubby Hubby.
Uh-huh.
And it has the great story where the people were having a party and they wanted to brag to their friends that they had a brand new Ben & Jerry's flavor and took crap out of their cupboard and put it into vanilla and served it, then told Ben & Jerry's their story, and then they turned it into
yeah,
an actual
I've
real
heard
flavor.
That.
Like,
no,
that's
top
cool.
will eat itself.
That's,
you
a,
know?
That's a great way to explain your gullibility. I'll
seriously.
Take it. Yeah, okay.
In America...
In America.
According to the legal profession, how many dogs are listed as beneficiaries for their owner's wills, approximately?
I'm sure this is a
per
what,
year?
Every year, yeah.
42,375.
It's higher.
Wow.
100.
In a year. Is
in
that
a year. It's basically annually.
50,000.
It's higher.
150,000?
It's higher.
78,200.
It's 1 million beneficiary
wow.
pups. Yep. Approximately
so,
1 million.
What happens when you leave money to your dog?
How many
does a dog have to choose a human to
so like put the paw print down on the paper?
To manage the money?
I just picture the classic sort of movie scene. And to my beloved pup, Fido, and like the dog.
Right,
what do I get?
What do I get?
And the cat's in the corner hissing, right?
You're, no doubt.
Yes.
I feel like we've had this one before, and I always look at Dan because I know he can begin to solve
Klingon
the problem.
Again?
How many different ways using the coinage that the United States is known for can you make change for a $1 bill? It's quite high. Wow. I would not have expected it.
I would think so.
Ooh. Oh, he's furrowing his brow.
Okay, so there's 100 pennies.
I know.
400 quarters, 10 dimes.
Because it'd be every permutation of pennies, nickels, dimes, yes, quarters, yes, 50 cents.
I can't do it without paper, time, and a pen.
895.
You know, it's less. It's 293, okay. But it's still, you're on the right order of magnitude, so I'm giving it to you.
It's possible I figured this out at one point.
Yes, yep, you're in the wheelhouse.
I'm only four times too high, but that's the wheelhouse.
Yeah, right.
Because you got to figure out, you know, like 90 pennies and two nickels, 90 pennies and one dime, you know,
right, exactly.
All of that.
It's a huge probability equation.
Sure. It is. What TV show featured a 1964 Wheeler, which was a travel boat?
Gilligan's Island.
Gilligan's Island had a 64 Wheeler.
A travel boat?
A travel boat. They were just on a three-hour tour, if I remember.
That's right.
Oh, did you hear Planet Ant and Hamtramck is going to do a slightly saucy version of Gilligan's Island?
I heard about that. Really? I read it in the paper today.
Slightly saucy?
Slightly.
Collectively, am I going to help you with this one? Who are Legs, Squealer, Spot, Flash, Splash, Chocolate, Patty, Brownie, and
are
Pinchers?
Are they the Dalmatians?
That you're...
Kinds of Labradors?
No, I mean, it's not specifically dog-related, but one of them might be a dog?
Might be a dog?
Are those names of animals?
They're names of animals, but not live animals.
They're
dead?
Cartoon animals?
Not cartoons.
Puppets.
Puppets, but you're getting way closer.
Stuffed animals.
They're Pumpkin Patch Kids.
Stuffed animals. They're the original names of the first run of the...
Beanie Babies.
Beanie Babies. Yeah, nice. Oh, that was great. We got there. That was beautiful. Do you remember how big Beanie Babies were?
Yeah, I remember.
I had all the Halloween ones, that's for sure.
Of course you did.
Chocolate, not shocking.
Yep. Jim, according to tradition, the Titanic had a lot of firsts associated with it.
Yeah, Jim.
Yeah.
However, it was also known to be the first to use what call?
SOS.
SOS. It was the first ship that used...
Yeah.
It had just been internationally accepted a year or two before that.
Wow, that worked out well.
See, nobody understood it yet.
Da-dum-dum.
Well, the signal they were using was CQD, you know.
Oh, right.
Come quick, disaster.
Do we really need to abbreviate?
I like that. It's actually more direct, right? Come
but
quick,
SOS
disaster.
Is easier to do. ...
I thought of you recently, and it's an old, dumb internet meme, but there's a picture, an image of somebody on a bicycle completely underwater with a scuba suit on. It's just an image. And someone had added to the bottom of it, I just discovered that the Titanic went down with over 1,000 pounds of garlic bread on it. I don't know why.
So
that
I'm diving down to get
so
it.
Let's go.
And a
get
very
it.
Full wine cellar.
Apparently, yeah. Right? Apparently. Oh my gosh. Well, you all did absolutely spectacular.
Those are great questions.
And they're great
Amber.
Questions, Amber. Thank you for sending us those. Just
Send
enough ships to bring us into the world that we know that Jim populates. But I'm afraid, professors, that the time has come for us to say goodbye, Elizabeth.
Goodbye.
David.
See you.
Daniel.
Goodbye.
James.
Farewell.
Stephen.
Goodbye.
And Heather.
Bye.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.